Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This is Dynamo's Dozen. And boys and gals, you are very, very welcome to Dynamo's Dozen. With the new home of Dynamo's Dozen, like I mentioned during the week on social media, Anchor is the brand new host of Ireland's number one podcast, Dynamo's Dozen. I say that with conviction because it is true. I laid the foundations. I paved the way. This is what it is. This is Ireland's number one wrestling, sports, entertainment, sports, fresh socks and jocks. Throw some muesli in there. Mix it with some movies and you've got the number one podcast in Ireland and possibly on the planet. And never forget the talc. So this week, as our brand new relaunch under the Anchor banner, I have an amazing special guest today. I didn't announce it because I wanted this to be exciting for y'all. And this is going to be super exciting for me personally. But it's also going to be really, really exciting for you guys and gals as well. Without further ado, I'll just leave it at this. So I am here with the man who is in the blue corner from Oldham, England. My man, Marty Jones. Marty, welcome to Dynamo's Dozen. How are you, my friend?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, my friend. This has kind of been in the works for probably since the podcast started, actually. I think you were just waiting for the timing and stuff like that, but now is the perfect timing. I'll start off by saying commiserations on the World Cup. The boys done you proud, though.
At the end of the day, you're not good enough.
Yeah. I agree.
But it's a learning process. Well, I think they went as far as they could go. So near, so far, but it's like everything else. It takes two to tango, just like the wrestling business. You know, you got to give it 110% or else you waste your time.
True enough. I suppose the most important thing that we are talking about is the wrestling business. I mean, you know, I want to start off by saying it's an absolute honor and a pleasure to be able to speak to you. Somebody that I personally grew up watching, and when I got into the business myself, went back and rewatched. As I say, it's an absolute honour and a privilege. So I really do thank you for taking the time out to come on the show today.
No problem at all, my friend.
And tell me, Marty, let's start with what you're doing now. I mean, you run an amazing wrestling school, and you know, for all the Irish wrestlers or wannabe Irish wrestlers that are thinking of getting into the business. They, you know, just tell them a little bit about the school, because you've had guys like LJ Cleary and Valkyrie and Michael May over at your school. So basically tell me a little bit about the school, how they can get in touch, how, you know, young guys or girls can find you and come over to train with yourself. Yeah.
With Johnny Saint to do a seminar.
Yeah.
The less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
I'll just put it on record. It was a mistake on our part by not doing our own work. There was a shit Irish promoter over there who thought it was a dog's bollocks and it was nothing. But anyway, that's beside the point. I went over there and I'd had a. It was time, so bit of surgery on the old legs. Now, my right ankle is actually bone on bone. We've been in the business for so many years. I was getting a bit of chip, you know, walking, and I had it checked out, and they said it's bone on bone. So they're going to fuse my ankle. But they said, we're going to do your left knee first, because it's in bits. So I said, nothing wrong with my knee, nothing wrong with it at all. But you've got to take a bit of medical advice, so I did. And cut the story short, I had a full reconstruction of my knee. It was at that stage in my life when I was living on my own, and I had this knee surgery. I went over to Ireland, like I say, 14 months later, not a problem, but it got infected. Now, I've got to say, it got infected while I was in England. It wasn't the Guinness that infected it. I was in such a bad way that I got straight back off the plane with Johnny Saint, rushed me into hospital. And the average infection is like 0 to 25, just tablets, 0 to 50. We were jabbing the backside, and 0 to 100 would be intravenous drip. And mine was 370.
Wow.
So they operated on me there and then to try and save my leg. It was tucked and go at one time.
Yeah.
So I had a knee construction for the second time and a third time, and I think I'm the only wrestler in the business that's had four new knees on one leg, and it hears me thinking I didn't need one. But all's well, and as we speak now, it's been several months, and everything's okay, and I'm slowly getting back into the ring. But I was approached by a guy who wanted me to teach his son on a one-to-one basis, and I quite enjoyed it, and I thought, you know something, I want to put something back in the business. So this guy opened the gym, well, we both did open the gym in my hometown. It's called a Squared Circle, just outside Oldham.
Yep.
But on the motorway network, very handy to get there by the train. And then word got round that I was opening this gym, and then like, I started getting a few people. And then, as you know, Johnny Saint's a very good friend of mine.
Yep.
He came down with me and we did a bit of a seminar. And I've always had a good relationship with Michael May and Phil Byrne and all them from the Fight Factory. I've been over there, done a few seminars. And I got involved with some Italian guys. And before I knew it, he was getting internationally renowned. And I was having people come and go, and the Squared Circle was me putting something back in the business. But I think what I was doing uniquely, I wasn't into like the American wrestling type of thing.
Sure.
Even though I admire it, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But I was taking it back to the days of me and Rocco, Johnny Saint, Steve Gray, and all them type of things. And I saw what was happening. A good friend of mine, as you know, William Regal, he and the WWE company are trying to bring NXT wrestling and make it more believable.
Yeah, sure.
Trying to bring it back to the world of sport days when we used to wrestle on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Telling a story.
Yeah.
You know, by working, depicting two athletes having a fight.
Yeah.
And what I couldn't understand, there's people coming from all over the world to the gym and they was doing exactly the same stuff. Nobody was doing anything creative. Nobody was doing anything different.
Yeah, sure.
And those people that are doing things different on the TV with WWE, they seem to be getting over.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you look at Tyler Bates and Pete Dunne and that. Pete Dunne, he's like Jimmy Breaks of old, working the arm.
Very much so. Very much so. And he's got he's not necessarily the biggest guy in the world, but he's got those really big, thick legs, and he looks like somebody that can fight, you know?
And a lot of the wrestlers, they do look like wrestlers. And I like the NXT product, and I like what they're doing. So, I can say the Irish Fight Factory and a few other people came over, and I've got a good relationship, and those names you totally dedicated, and I'm pretty sure in the near future their turn's going to come on the big stage, because they deserve it, and I will be recommending them as much as I can do. I was saying that the seminars have gone pretty well, and I do a few trainee shows. But I tell you, what also is good for me is once I started doing the training, I was getting people in this country, and I think I've helped them advance. You've got Sam Gradwell, who's in the WWE UK brand.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, Jesus in WWE brand.
Yep.
You've got Adam Maxted, Amir Jordan. You've got all them people that be coming to my gym. Even though they're wrestlers, you know, we just put the finishing touch to it. So I have recommended a few people to the WWE. And also, he only left yesterday. There's a guy called Luke Menzies that we're asking to look out for. This guy hadn't had any wrestling experience. He was 18 stone. He's an ex-rugby player. And if I tell you, he's phenomenal. So much so, in 12 months, him and his family, his new baby, left for Orlando yesterday to start his life in the WWE.
That's an amazing story, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, it just goes to show you that, like, in 12 months, you know, it could take some guys 2 years to just learn how to do a proper suplex, let alone, you know, actually tell a story.
There's not many people that can do a suplex.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope he's listening. I haven't seen Brock Lesnar do a suplex yet.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
To me, and there's so many. I think we last time we counted, it's 12 types of suplex. But proper suplex is where you double arm them.
Yeah.
Put the head down on your stomach, and you go into a bridge.
I believe like a butterfly type suplex or something where you can That's actually right. help. Yeah.
You get a one arm suplex, you get German suplex, yeah. Texan suplex.
Yeah.
You get all that, but it's where you go back and land on your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And bridge. Yeah.
Everybody can grab hold of somebody around the waist and just throw them over their head.
Well, especially when you're 300 pounds, yeah.
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 But anyway, you know, nothing against what they do, but my main objective was two guys go in the ring now, and I'll put it in a nutshell, they're trying to cram an hour's match into 5 minutes.
I agree.
And there's no story, no selling.
Yeah.
And if somebody starts talking to me about hardcore matches, I get it. I get why they have hardcore matches. But it just doesn't... It's not my cup of tea, especially when, you know, I was only talking to Pete Roberts. Now, some people might not know who Pete Roberts was, but for me, he was the most underrated wrestler. 20-odd trips in Japan, and there's a joy to wrestle. We used to go in the 12 five-minute rounds, draw. That was an hour. You go for a walk for an hour.
That's a proper hour Broadway, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I've seen some people when I go to some of these shows, you know, 5 minutes they knackered, 5 minutes of walking around, giving everybody high fives. I went to a match, no names mentioned, it was a tag match only a few months ago, and it was 17 minutes before they eventually rang the bell to start a contest.
Yeah.
That's all
I'm
about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's become, I mean, I guess on that point, actually, I kind of grew up, I'm kind of, you know, I'm at an age where I was able to kind of get the last legs of World of Sport, because my, here's one for you, Marty. You remember all the grannies that were in the front row. My granny was in the front row of my sitting room calling me in to watch the wrestling with her from a very, very young age. And, you know, I'd be sitting there with my Hulk Hogan figure. But at the same time, I was actually, when I look back, I was actually more enthralled by the work that you guys were doing than, you know, the spectacle of, you know, a WrestleMania, you know? Because you could see...
You've also got to move with the times, Ian. I mean,
true. Very true.
I mean, it's hell of a product, the American wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
One of the biggest companies in the world.
It's the biggest rock concert ever.
It's like fashion. I'm pleased to say the miniskirts and the boom tops are coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
You know, and we looked up at them guys at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not that it went stale, because it's all those characters, but I do believe that British wrestling at the moment is, when I say British, I'm talking about, you know, Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, England, and I'm talking about, them guys can't do half of their stuff, but there's a lot of our kids and that.
Sure. Sure. I mean, let me make a point actually on that actually, because I agree with you. For me, British wrestling, and I mean it did come solely from the UK, was such a great base for an amazing technical wrestling, but also storytelling. I mean, you look at, for example, I mention one name that I always mention on this show, and we'll get to him later, but Dynamite Kid, he brought that to Calgary, and you could see, you know, what became of it from guys like Bret Hart and Owen Hart and Chris Benoit and guys like that. You can see what the kid actually brought to Canada, and then it became like a, I don't know, it became like the go-to style with some, intricacies maybe, you know, little changes here and there, but that style, I think, really was, am I wrong? Sure. Snake Pit,
Steve,
yeah.
Bernie Wright and all them people. And Dynamite, it's hard for me to explain this because I was about to tell you with the squared circle, I'll diverse a little bit. I have got, at the moment, and I'm proud to say this, a lot of the people that are still alive from World of Sport days, they've got grandchildren or family.
Yep.
And they're spending all their relations to my gym to carry the legacy on.
Which is amazing.
At the moment, I'm training Big Daddy's granddaughter, Eleanor.
Sure, really?
Right. So there's a name for the future.
What's her name?
I'm training Dynamite Kid's nephews.
Yep. Tom and Mark.
I'm also training John Nail at the Golden Aces grandson.
Wow.
Exceptional talent, worked hard, very skinny, and then he went, I was in Canada with him, and I tagged with Dynamite before Davey Boy Smith.
In Calgary?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I've got the Folgers there to prove it, because John Foley was over there, and he was his manager, and it was myself that went on with Brett, Bruce, Owen, all the Hearts, and I was over there for a good 3 months. We was at the time when Stu Hart was also bringing Terry and Dory Funk in and people like that. And then when Dynamite grew up a little bit, he was still a bit small, and then Vince McMahon got hold of him and he took him. And Vince just wanted men in them days to transform people. But I have never took a steroid in my life. I've not even took a Red Bull. I've never even took a protein drink. I've just started a good friend who's in the business, who's training with us now, supplements, has just it's just a protein drink.
Yeah.
And I drank that. And, well, going back to Dynamite, he was exceptional talent. But if you look at young Thomas, who's now 15...
He looks exactly like him as well, doesn't he?
He walks like him, he talks like him, yeah. His mindset's with him, and I was shocked because, and I don't want to dwell on this fact because it really upsets me.
Sure.
I go and see Dynamite Kid.
How is he?
My brother.
How is he? I know Mark's a good friend of mine as well. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay, of course.
And it's sad. If you see him, you just break your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And all I'm going to say is that I know it happened. I know these rules and regulations, but if he was in a lot of pain, he's not with us. He can't speak. He can't do this and that. But the life that he's had to what he's got now, you know, it's absolutely terrible. It's heartbreaking.
I agree. He should be definitely in better kind of care for what he's given to the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, let's forget that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's being carried on by these two kids. And I'm pleased that they chose my team to come to. And the big names. They're going to be big names in the business. But coming back to the Irish people at the Fight Factory, I haven't seen, but the Irish wrestlers apparently, I see that the houses are up, so they must be doing something right. But that group of Irish people that come over, they're doing Ireland proud, they do themselves proud, and they do come on, they come over here, and there's no problems with them. See, there's the other side of being a wrestler as well, showing respect and,
yep.
You know, they train hard. It's worth it for them to get a cheap flight if they can to come over here. I mean, it's like...
You could get a flight over for 40 euro, 30 euro. No, but...
Yeah, we've been getting, you know, we get online, but they like it as well because we socialise. It's good for me. We go to the Toby Carvery and we just have food for champions and we all have a laugh and a giggle and it's a break as well to break it up, but they are... During the Fight Factory, I am proud because I know for a fact that maybe this year, watch your space, there's only one or two of them going to break into the big time, you know.
Me, yeah, I agree. I've got my eye on a couple of guys that are going to be on the show as well. I'm definitely going to get the two young Billington boys on the show, and hopefully Mark is going to be on the show as well. And Mark would be probably more fit to talk about the Dynamite Kid's legacy than either you or I as well. So,
To be fair, you'll be lucky. I've just had a Japanese friend over, obviously from Japan.
Sure, yeah.
He gets emotional talk about it. So it's really, I talk about Dynamite Kid more than them. The thing is, I just want people to remember Dynamite Kid as he was. Starting work that he did.
Exactly.
Me and him used to knock absolutely shit out of each other, but we respected each other. That's the only way we did.
Tell me something. How was he in the ring when you guys worked? Because I've watched some matches with you two guys, and you worked fucking hard. I mean, you guys worked hard, but also safe. I mean, that's what people don't realise anymore as well. There's working hard, but there's also working safe where you can actually go and have a beer at the end of the match, you know?
It's like amateur wrestling, Olympic wrestling.
Yeah.
We know that some people think it's a work. Some people don't think you don't get hurt. Some people don't think... Listen, with Dynamite, he kicked me hard. I mean, he had them matches, Rollerball Rocco, Finley. You know, I was just honored to be... their opponents, really, because they've all gone on to greater things.
Yeah.
You know, I was 15 times world champion, but that means nothing to me. It was the guys that I worked with, and I was on World of Sport more than anybody. The thing is, I didn't look like a wrestler, if you know what I mean. I was just honoured to be, like, a good worker.
I got you.
You know what I mean? There's some people that look the part, they've got three heads, so you can do this, that, and you know. But a lot of people like working.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocco was erratic, he boot you in the head, but you gave him one back. Finlay, you know, very underestimated. Finlay for me was one of the best villains in the business.
I agree.
You know, but going back to Dynamite and that, he was good at the time. The British Bulldog gimmick was good. And they went over there, and the rest is history, but. I'm telling you, these two kids that they've got here, I already know now after under 12 months with me, being at Allen Square Circle Gym, people are trying to snap them up now.
Well, you see, you're doing yourself a disservice though, Marty, as well, because I've seen the videos, in fairness, I've seen them all, I've seen the progress from day one to now, and, you know, a lot of it is you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you for that. But there's the other side of the business that they don't know of. And that is, you'll get a promoter asking, can they use the Dynamite Kid's nephews?
Yeah, which is not right. Yeah.
I can see it now on a poster.
I agree.
It'll be big letters. Dynamite Kid.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, whereas they need their name spread across the fucking posters.
It's conning the people.
Yeah, I agree.
Kids get work, along with the Irish kids that are coming into the business, and all that, it's in a healthy state at the moment. Now, there's a lot of gyms over there, and maybe there'll be one or two in Ireland. And I apologise for starting off by mentioning, I'm not going to mention the guy's name because I've even forgot it, because he was just a polished turd. I think the people know who he is. We're inviting him over to Ireland.
Is he based in Dublin or Cork?
more Belfast.
Ah, okay.
That's sort of spoken the wheel.
Hey, yo.
You might be right, but it's, you know, that's another time.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, this podcast isn't all about... Yeah.
But anyway, that's that point. But what they're doing now, all the young West Colony apprentices are becoming really, really good. If they've been taught well, they'll do all right, because there's also a lot of crap wrestling schools out there too.
Sure.
There's some very good ones, and there's some crap ones. And the crap ones, well, they're the ones that they won't succeed.
Well, when you look at... I mean, Irish wrestling was based on British wrestling. Essentially, Irish wrestling, historically, is British wrestling. I mean, I can...
The Irish guys used to come over in them days, you know what I mean? On the ferry, we went over there. I mean, I remember going to Carrickfergus wrestling in Finland, and they turned them away.
Well, the south of Ireland. The south of Ireland is what I mean. In the south of Ireland, there wasn't really much training because there was, like, in the south of Ireland, you had, name a couple of guys from the south of Ireland rather than the north. There's not many, you know what I mean?
Well, there were no wrestling schools in our day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, to get, and they do all right, but the thing is, the opportunity's there now far more.
But the thing about you, Marty, is you've trained big guys, though, you know?
Yeah.
You know.
I was trained by some great people, you know. I mean, Billy Robinson, for me, was the best wrestler there ever was.
Yeah.
I went training with Carl Gotch and Dean Malenko and people like that.
Tell me about it. Tell me a bit about Ted Bettley.
Well, what I can remember about Ted, he was just, he lived in the Isle of Man, and he had a house over in Warrington.
Yeah.
And he had Steve Wright, and he had a ring in a barn, and he just started doing it from there. And he's, Ted himself wasn't like a great wrestler, he was just, gave the lads the opportunity where there was a ring, and I mean, I was very fortunate when I was a young kid to go with Billy Robinson to connection to Billy Riley's place in Wigan.
Yep.
The original Snake Pit.
Snake Pit, yep.
There's a lot of people nowadays, they come off the street and they're a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I started wrestling at 6 years of age.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought this professional wrestling was a load of baloney. I just thought, what a load of crap this is.
Sure, sure.
And then when the Munich Olympics was on, the politics came in. I mean, our country, as far as amateur wrestling was concerned, I was a British champion. So, but as far on the world stage, you know, we'd get battered. There's a lot of their national sports, you know, in Russia and people in Mongolia and places like that. I was sick and tired of getting little medals and trophies, so I decided to go to the gym that I had with Billy Robinson. He would never talk about professional, he'd just throw you out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a gym with Colin Joynson and Jack Robinson, John Naylor, Ted Bentley's little gym there in Warrington, and then there was one at Brighton Stadium in Bolton.
Yeah.
So I started going there, and I had my first match within like 2 months because my amateur, and I was on with a guy that he put my own head up my ass. I didn't know where the hell I was going. Before I knew it, I got a trip to Mexico, and then I was on with some great wrestlers, Tony Charles, Paul Bowman, two of people like that. These were hard men.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, straight hard men, you know, that took no shit. But because they had a good background, they respected me, and the rest was history. And that's what I'm trying to do. And when I went to Japan, some of the training with Carl Gotch, you know, and the travelling, it was unbelievable. And I've just brought that back. And all I'm doing is passing on what I was taught with a bit of the modern-day stuff, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think... Let's just put it into perspective for a lot of people, that people that may know the name Marty Jones, but that don't necessarily know the level and, you know, the extent of some of the guys that you've worked with. For example, I'll name a few names. We talked about Dynamo Kid. We talked about Rollerball Rocco. We talked about Fit Finley. Bret Hart. Also, Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan. I mean, Hulk Hogan, that kind of says it all. You don't really got to really mention anybody after that. You've worked Hulk Hogan, Kendo Nagasaki. You've worked the who's who of professional wrestling. I mean, what was it like working some of those guys? For example, what was it like working someone like Hulk Hogan?
Well, it was a one-off Hulk Hogan, to be honest.
Okay. Oh, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, they came over to Manchester, and the rules of the game were a bit different then. All these Americans came over to do a show, and they came to Victoria Station in Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had to have so many English people on before they got a license.
Okay. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And what they did, Tony Sinclair was there, Drew McDonald. So, in other words, they had to put some English guys on.
Yeah.
So, I was fortunate, as like, to be in a tag with Hulk Hogan. And to me, I'm on with Hulk Hogan or something. I didn't know who Hulk Hogan was. He was just a big impressive American. Because don't forget, we all thought these Yanks were lonely shit.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
In them day. But they are the masters of the psychology. They're the masters of bringing sports entertainment into the business.
Very, very good point, yeah.
You know, so forward to, and from the first ever tour of Japan, when Vince McMahon Sr., not Vince McMahon, you know, his dad,
the good one,
took a tour to Japan. And on the bill was Andre the Giant. I was already there because I was actually Andre's tag partner a lot, because I was a young lad that did a lot of the grafts and a lot of the time, and he was a big guy that threw on the crowd.
Yeah, sure.
And I wrestled as, you know, I was on the bill, the same bill where Inoki wrestled Muhammad Ali.
Were you on that show?
I was on the show.
Wow. Man, that's something, that's a fucking piece of history right there.
Well, it is, and meeting Muhammad Ali, listen, I could write a book about that one night, the things you have to do.
Wow. What was it? Did you meet him personally?
He came in. He was just one of the boys.
And he was a good guy, yeah?
Oh, yeah. But you know that everybody knew Muhammad Ali. And the build-up to the matches, when I actually wrestled a guy called Chuck Webner, who was a boxer.
Yeah, sure.
He was in the gym with us, trying to, because he went on with Fujin Army.
Okay.
Sammy Lee and people like that, and then when they did the build up, I was actually on the nights. I've been there some famous nights. You remember when Antonio Inoki booted the big great Antonio?
Oh, yes.
Well, that dirty, smelly bastard, he travelled with us.
He was a prick.
Well, he got a receipt for it. I was on there that night. And when he got back to the dressing room, he got another kick in as well.
Did he? Who did he get a kicking from?
Antonio Milky. No, in the ring, that's Antonio Milky, but we just finished it off in the changing room.
How tough was Inoki? Yeah. No, never. Never. You could tell that by his matches.
That was the thing about our day. If we had to go, if we had to do it, we had to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever have to give a few slaps?
What, in your wrestling career?
Yeah.
Many times.
You don't have to mention names, but give me some examples of certain times that you had to, and this is also an education to young guys now as well, so.
Well, let me put it this way, if you know the wrestling business,
yep,
or you think you know it, there's a match, and I don't want to plug YouTube, but there's a match on YouTube, and it's Marty Jones versus an Australian guy called Digger Nolan.
Okay, I'm going to type it in right now, and I'm going to put the sound down, yep. What was the guy's name again?
I think it was Rick Mansworth, or Bedworth, down the area.
Rick Bedworth.
Rick Mansworth, which is near Bedworth, I think, in down in the Midlands anyway. But if you go on YouTube, it's on there. Anyway, okay. This guy comes, and Max Crabtree, the promoter, said, "Listen, Marty, we've got a foreign guy here, right? I'd like you to go on with him." And I didn't check a lot of instructions off promoters.
Sure.
They left it. I was on with some incredible workers. And if we felt it was right, that there's another match in it, Finlay had beat me.
Yeah.
And we'd do a jig for the match. Or if he just wanted another, keep everybody happy, I'd win. Well, you got some professionals like that that work for the business rather than themselves.
Yeah.
So we could go to the promoter and say, "Hey, there were 500 people watching the match. This time there's 700 people. Is there any chance of any bonus, you know?"
Sure, sure.
And we work for the business. I mean, when Finlay was with Vince's parlour, at that particular time, them matches there, they were incredible. We didn't sit and talk, we Finlay in his hometown.
Yeah, yeah. Which is also available on YouTube.
I remember his father saying to you, I've got a lot of respect for him. But I won the match.
Yeah.
And we did like a return contest for it. Because they all expected Finlay to win in his hometown. And when he was having a decent worker, there was nothing wrong with going down to a guy like that.
That's it, yeah.
When was it? You know, there's many times you go to a promoter and say, we're selling to put our boy over. Yeah, all right. And then it doesn't go according to plan because they're shit. And if you put them over, it makes you look bad.
I guess it's not too dissimilar for, you know, some of the American listeners that might be listening. It's not too dissimilar to the likes of Ric Flair going into, you know, Texas and beating, you know, some of the Von Erichs and stuff like that, you know.
That's in the old days.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, anyway, going back to his gig and Nolan, he said, look, there's all this history between England and the Aussies. He's got his hat with him. He's got an Australian flag. Why don't we do a championship? I said, what's the pedigree of this guy? I said, because I've never heard of him. And at the time, I said, I didn't even know a good wrestler had come from Australia.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't know. He said to you?
Yeah. So I said, well, what do you mean? What, you're winning? I said, not such thing as you're winning.
Fuck.
I'll put you over if you wish, if you're good enough. I said, where have you wrestled? Oh, I'm on a world tour.
Wow.
I said, right. Well, where have you wrestled? Oh, that doesn't matter. Well, I knew straight away. And if you watch the match from day one, and for about two or three rounds, I just carried him professionally. I kept switching him in the corner when he wanted to do something. And when I thought he was ready to go, I just told him to run. And he ran. But I actually threw him the hard. I slept. He went over the top. And then I want you to get back to me and tell me what you think.
Yeah. It's funny because...
I'll tell you the finish. I drop kicked him with my size 12s and I knocked him out.
Oh, really? Legitimately?
Yeah, I'm not straight. You watch it.
Yeah.
And he thought he was winning. And he was over for a month. He didn't get changed. He got his gear, put it in the bag, and he left and went home.
So he took his ball and ran home after that.
Many times, you know, the ex-pros will tell you, or the lads, it's many times that they've been professional and then they've gone back in the changing rooms and they've said to the guy, you know, they've had a disagreement and they've been professional in the ring and they've carried it on. They've done the best they could, but in the changing rooms, you give them a slap now and again. But you never took a liberty. Never take a liberty.
Yeah, not in the ring.
It's actually brought down a peg or two, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think it's very well respected when someone can actually show their muscle, if you want. You know, backstage, in the dressing room, rather than in the ring, you know?
Here, at one time, even the seconds were allowed to bring the dressing gowns back into the dressing room. You have to knock on the door. They used to have the baby faces in one side, the heels in another side. You was never ever seen talking to the public. It's all changed.
Yeah. I suppose
nobody allowed in them changing rooms apart from the wrestlers.
Well, one thing I want to kind of do in kind of finishing as well, Marty, is when you look at, I mean, you're a man who's around wrestling all the time now, especially with as you say, with the whole NXT kind of thing going on, you know, we've got some Irish boys and girls over there now. We've got Becky Lynch and we've got Finn Balor, aka, you know, Rebecca Quinn and Fergal Devitt. Fergal Devitt's the guy that was able to, Fergal Devitt and Paul Tracy, I have to mention, are the guys that brought what they learned from British wrestling over in Kent with Andre Baker, the late great Andre Baker, and brought it to Ireland. So we were all brought up on the British wrestling style. To me, there was nothing like it. There still isn't, personally. I guess the point that I'm trying to make, and by segueing, I guess I'm asking you the question as well. What is the differences with pro wrestling today versus pro wrestling in your day? What key differences can you point out that's kind of making it, you know, other than the obvious? Yeah.
They try to bring whatever the product we've got now back to our day.
Yeah.
Reset the stone.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you, at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, there was 15 million viewers used to watch you.
It's true. It's true. In the UK, yeah.
It used to fetch
more
viewers than the cup final.
Yep. World of Sport, yeah.
And I'm so delighted for the lads and lasses that have been picked to go on it.
Yeah.
But it will never, ever be the same.
No.
And I'll tell you why for what.
Okay.
They don't respect the referees for a start.
Okay.
There's not the same rules. You'll never get back to rounds again because people find it boring when they stop for a minute.
Well, wasn't one of the rules back in the day as well, because I remember my uncle told me this when I was watching, because I used to watch any kind of wrestling that I could find, whether it be World of Sport, whether it be WWF, and I was always told that in British wrestling that you couldn't go over the top rope. Is that correct?
Well, no, the rules were if you got thrown over the top rope, that was like a disqualification.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point I'm making. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a count of 10. What makes me laugh? I go to some shows, this is the truth now, and a third man comes out in the ring. And now, if he hadn't got a black and white shirt on, they wouldn't know who the hell he was. They don't announce him. Wrestlers don't come out. I mean, I watch the Irish guys on WWE and people like that. You know, if you've got, nobody comes out with a gown on anymore. Well, let me just put it straight. World of Sport isn't the same as was.
No.
This is what was. It's really... Because by rights, I'm still the champion. I was the champion when World of Sport was taken off television, when Pat Roach said, "Oh, Wiedersehen, that's us done." And they took wrestling off television. That was our shop window.
Yeah.
People used to watch us on a Saturday and come see us on a Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And it's done in an audience. You want a live show. The one that we did, they asked us as the legends to go and was honored to do so. It was done in a studio and it looked as though it was just like the gladiators.
Yeah.
Say the boo, cheer. You couldn't get the atmosphere. Now, this new product, the World of Sport that they've got now, they've got some incredible talent on it. And hopefully, when I can't get it, mate, when somebody kicks, say I'm on top of the corner post and I drop kick somebody.
Yeah.
In our day, the guy would sell it and he'd be getting up on 4, 5, 6. He was having a rest.
Yeah. Very similar to boxing.
Somebody gets on top of the garden poles, they drop kick them, what did he do? Answer
I'll tell you what they do. Yeah, the guy goes towards them.
And the referee, right, is just thrown away. The referee might as well just pull a chair up. There's no respect.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, we agree.
The biggest thing is 80% of the matches are all the same.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I must admit, it's getting better and better because they bring in the strong stuff and they sell it and they do some. I'm not into all the gymnastics.
No, me neither. Me neither.
Right, no, I could fly a little bit. I could do a cartwheel. I could do this. I could do that.
Oh, I've seen you do it, Marty. I've seen you do it.
I probably two times, and the second time I'd get my head knocked off.
Well, I'll tell you. If anyone wants to watch a really, really, and it's a short YouTube video. If anyone wants to watch a really good Marty Jones video, there's actually a couple. Marty Jones versus Owen Hart over in Calgary. It's only 8 minutes and 41 seconds long. Yeah.
And we walked straight in the ring and we wrestled in a championship and Ken Walton said this is the best wrestling match he's ever commentated on. Now if Ken Walton said, Owen Hart takes his leg off in a minute and he hits him over the head with it and puts it back on again, the punters would believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you watched that match, myself and Owen Hart, I'm proud of that match.
Yeah, it's a great match, man.
And I watched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
I can honestly say I'm proud of. I very, very rarely had a bad match.
Well, I'll tell you what. As I said, we've got about 9 minutes now to finish up on this. What was the? You've worked both the hearts. What were the key differences with Owen and Brett? That's true. That's true. I've heard him say that.
But at the end of the day, people will remember Bret Hart for his WWE days and all his legendary matches.
Yeah.
Half of them wouldn't even know the matches with me and Bret Hart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's some great people there, honestly. Terry Rudge and Pete Roberts. They were phenomenal matches.
Yeah.
But for British wrestling, your Finlays, your Rockos, I mean, Johnny Saint, I mean, I'm so pleased that he's like, he'll be helping a few of the Irish guys.
Yeah, well. For sure. You know, he's already helping the likes of Jordan Devlin and all now, so.
Exactly, we're going to yeah. do seminars.
Yeah.
He gets in his car, he travels 2 hours to come over to the gym, you know, and the guy is a legend. I'm very friendly with Steve Bray.
Sanders,
we're still going, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but the future is going to look great anyway. He's bright and hopefully he's going to come back
again. I believe so. And you know what, Marty? On that note, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to talk to someone that is well and truly, in my opinion, a wrestling legend. Not that word gets thrown out to... Yeah, gets thrown out too much, you know, and you know, the Yankees, and I apologize to all my American listeners for this statement, but, you know, I've talked to some great, great people from the British scene. For me, British wrestling will always be number one. I think that's kind of showing right now. The fact that you're training, you know, some of these, we'll say British legend wrestler, like for example, Dynamite Kid, Big Daddy. I think you mentioned there was another girl that you wanted me to mention. It was, I think it was Lou.
The Irish girl that comes
Valkyrie, yeah, she's tearing it up. Luke Menzies as well, someone that you wanted me to mention.
I want to name for the future. But let me just say one thing. My mother's Irish, and all my family, when I was a kid, they used to ship me over all the way to Dublin. And my Uncle Jack was one of the first traders at Dublin Market. And I spent all my youth, all my school holidays, in a place called Wicklow, Greystones, Bray. That's why it's always a pleasure to go back to Fire Factory and walk along that beach there in Bray, because that's where I went as a kid. And I've got a lot of time for the Irish people. I've got a lot of time for the Irish students. And Ireland is looking good. The future's great. They're doing it right. They're in the same set as us. But you watch now. It's an honour for you to... Well, it's an honour for me to talk to you, because you've asked me some questions that are not stupid questions. What do I think about this? What do I think about the G between this? And what do I think about Ronda Rousey? And what do I think about it? All I'm going to say is watch your space. And wrestling, you're born to be a wrestler. If not, get out of it. It's a long, long journey. You start with nothing. You make a few quid in between. And you end up with nothing. But the journey's incredible. The only thing is now, there's been a lot of money thrown around. And if I can teach somebody and get them security out of wrestling, because in our day there was never any security. I had to hold a whole three jobs. And not on a sad note, when my wife passed at the age of 40, I brought two kids upon my own.
Yep.
And the thing is, I still wrestle. I could have easily packed it in. But you know one thing, Ian, I've never had the police knock on the door once.
Exactly. Exactly.
And wrestling is a great, great business to be in.
Yep.
If you talk right, if you execute it, and you show a lot of respect for your elders and work at it, it's a great, great business.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marty, you've made me actually quite emotional here, and it's a great way to end the show, because you mentioned a town that is very dear to me, because I'm from Bray. And what an amazing thing. The home of Irish wrestling is Bray, County Wicklow.
Yeah.
And Marty Jones himself used to walk along the promenade of Bray, County Wicklow. And now the first Universal Champion of all that can never be taken away was Mr. Finn Balor, a.k.a. Fergal Devitt, from Bray, County Wicklow. So it works in stages, my friend. What an amazing show. This is one of my favourite interviews of all time, I've got to say, Marty.
On that note, let's always finish, let's keep the crowd happy. On that note, we'll do it again sometime.
We're 100% going to do it again. Marty, I love you, my friend, and thank you so much.
Thank you.